Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Accent on LA Talk Radio every Monday night at 6 p.m. Back by popular demand. This is Mateo. He was here with me last time. He's a little heavy. Let me pick him up for you guys to see. This is Mateo. Mateo, say hi to everybody. Mateo is a rescue cat. He was rescued from the Middle East. And I am training him to become a service cat because he's so laid back, as you can all can see. And he's a sweet boy and he makes people happy and he loves being loved. So hopefully he behaves well like he did last time. With me today is Dr. Brigitte Rosenberg. Brigitte.
Hi, Karen.
How are you?
Thank you for having me.
Oh, so very welcome. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. Please
introduce yourself.
I'm Brigitte Rosenberg. I'm a chiropractor, and I've been doing this for over 24 years.
You're too young to be doing this for 24 years.
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm glad we're on the radio, not on TV.
Well, they can still see us.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I'll hide. I have two offices here in the LA area, one in Culver City and one in Van Nuys, and I've been a chiropractor for many years. I treat patients that were involved in accidents and different trauma-related injuries, and love what I do. And I'm doing a lot of new things lately. So
that's why you're here, because we'd love to hear about all the new things you're doing.
And I will be happy to share them with you, Karen.
We will share them in a minute. Before we get to the show and learn about what you do, I want to give a shout out to my sister. I know this is a plug-in. I'm shameless and I don't care. Mateo wants to go back in his crate. Here, Mateo, you can go back. So those of you who have been following the show know that I'm a huge, huge animal lover. I especially love cats, but I love all animals. And this comes from my entire family. My entire family is a huge animal lover. And I think we got it from our parents who, you know, we had some animals growing up, but we lived in an apartment, so it wasn't conducive really to a lot of animals, but we had some animals growing up. Anyways, my sister, because she's such a huge animal lover, she wrote a book that teaches kids, young kids between the ages of 2 and 5, to love animals and to empathize with animals, because a lot of people have a hard time empathizing with animals. Thank you. That was a hard word to say. So she wrote a book. This book is currently only in Hebrew, but the English version is in production right now. So I'm really excited to introduce it. It's a really cute kids book. Basically has amazing illustrations and a super duper cute storyline. So this is the first in a series of books that she's writing. So I'm super proud of you, Sean. I'm excited for this book. Thank you for sending me a copy. And I'm excited for it to come out.
You'll promote it here in the U.S.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Dr. Rosenberg, so you said you've been a chiropractor for what, 24 years?
Yeah.
How did you get into that line of work?
So I come from a family of doctors. My mother was a physician back in Israel, and I always wanted to kind of follow her footsteps in one way or another. And I really fell in love with the profession because we work with patients, we work with people. It's not just writing scripts. We actually heal them, and I think that there is something healing in my powers here, that I really enjoy working with patients, and I really like that interaction and that line of work. Also didn't require, you know, I always wanted to have a family, so it didn't require me to be married to a hospital or be doing calls at nighttime or things like that. So it kind of everything fell in place. I met my husband here back in school, so I wanted to stay in LA, and I found a school here in LA, and I, you know, pursued it, and it was just really something that very naturally fell into my lap.
So you knew from the get-go that this is your path, that you wanted to help heal people. You know, the thing with doctors today, and I don't want to say anything bad about doctors, but doctors these days, because they're so overworked and they get so little money, a lot of them, they don't have time to sit with a patient, and it's more of here's the medication instead of here, let's figure out a way to heal you.
It's very true. Actually, healthcare has been changing a lot lately, and especially in the last decade. But when I started, it was my passion was to do something in the healthcare, something in a medical field. And to me, that was, like I said, the natural thing. Back to the doctor story that you said, yes. So medicine has been changing tremendously.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, patients, are looking for alternative ways to get better and to heal themselves versus just taking drugs and medication. And in fact, even the whole medical community is trying to keep patients away from drugs and medication, because we have a huge epidemic of opioids in the United States, and I guess all over the world, but the majority of the opioids used is in the United States. Yeah. There's a whole statistics on that.
Yes.
I think there are about, I don't know exactly, don't quote me on it, but about 60-something thousand people die from opioid overdose every year in the United States.
That's insane. And they get a lot of these things, they get because they start using pain medication.
Correct. Opioids is a pain medication. So it's the Vicodins, the Norcos, the Percocets. These are just medications that are prescribed to patients that are in chronic and acute pain. They're also prescribed for patients that are undergoing surgery. So if you have any surgery or hip surgery or back surgery or even C-sections, they'll give you that kind of medication because it's a very strong painkiller.
Right.
Even dentists.
Sometimes they give Dilaudid right straight to the vein. I've known of people who've gotten it in the hospital after surgery.
Right.
Now that is super
very strong.
Yes. And when you get it right into your vein, not even in a pill, it's just insane.
Correct. I think Dilaudid is it's a morphine derivative because it's extremely strong. But you'll be surprised that the Percocets that are sold are stronger than the Dilaudid.
No way.
Yeah, it has very strong side effects. So in today's world, like I said, in the last decade, and especially in the last few years, there's a huge fight against opioids and against prescription medication. There's a lot of different options out there for patients. Yes, sometimes it's needed, but those that abuse it or take it too much, they cannot control if they have the addictive gene and they become addicted to the drug, it becomes a problem.
And we hear a lot of celebrities who have had that happen to them. They have had an accident, whatever it was, and start taking these medications, and for back pain, for whatever it is, and
that is
they
correct.
Just get really addicted.
That's
sorry,
right.
Guys. I got hair on my face because I've been kissing my cat.
It's all good.
I'm just gonna clean up my hair that keeps going.
I always forget that it's actually on camera.
Yes,
that's a funny thing. So yes, so the problem with all the medication that people are taking is that it gives you the tendency to become addicted to other kind of drug. And if since the doctors are, so right now it's very regulated. The physicians, whether it's regular physician or a dentist, they cannot just prescribe pain relieving cream without having a very specific prescription license. So I think it's called a DEA license, where they can, it's not a regular prescription like they would give you
it's something
antibiotic.
That they give you like in triplicates, right? You have to
correct.
Get it. Okay.
So you cannot actually, you cannot call it in. You have to bring in
the prescription
to the pharmacy to get it. That's how much they're trying to regulate that.
Right.
But a lot of patients, after a while, when they're not getting this medication, these pills from the doctors, they find other ways to get it in
the street.
Right. And there's a lot of,
I just heard a statistic. I don't know if it's true, and don't quote me on that, but I heard that this was the first year that there was a bit of a reduction in drug deaths related to opioid addiction.
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm still, everywhere I go and all my conferences, I talk about how they're trying to fight it. But
it's horrible.
It is really bad. But I think that if this is the case, which I think you're right, it's because the medical community and the medical and all the other medical communities that are associated with conventional medicine and Western and Eastern, all kinds, they're so they're trying so hard to put different options and to provide patients with different options. And so if you don't introduce that to the patient from the get-go, or you give them options, or you don't give them so much of it, then it's not like, okay, here you go, take a pain medication, it's going to go away.
Right.
Then naturally the abuse and the need for abuse is going to reduce, because you just don't introduce it to so
right,
many people.
Exactly.
So, and there's a lot of new modalities and a lot of new medical procedures out there, especially one that I will be talking about today, that are very helpful for patients that suffer from acute and chronic pain.
Any acute and chronic pain, back, shoulder, knees, or do you focus on a specific body?
Right.
Issue?
So I will describe to you a specific treatment that I'm doing in my office that is within my scope of practice in chiropractic. And so I think it's any pain, but specifically in my field, I specialize in treating patients with disc herniations and disc and nerve conditions. So there are new technologies and new techniques out there to treat those patients that suffer from herniated disc, bulging disc, sciatica, numbness and tingling, which these conditions are extremely painful.
Yeah, I have sciatica. First time it happened to me was last year, and for 3 months. It was just unbelievable pain, and I've never experienced pain like that before, where you couldn't bend over, you couldn't move without being in even you couldn't sit without being in
right.
excruciating pain.
It's extremely disabling, and but the good news, Karen, is there are solutions out there for
right.
you. You don't need to take medication for that.
I didn't take medication. Well, it's now been gone because
yeah.
Well, I think with sciatica, for me, really what helped was a lot of stretching and some other things that I've done. But if I'd have known, then now I know next time it acts up,
you
where
have
to go
come
to.
Visit me.
I know.
I have an office in the Valley.
And Culver City,
right. So
can
I cover the whole area.
Can you give people your information so they know
sure.
where to call?
Absolutely. And I'll give them the website. But I want to just elaborate a little bit on that so they'll understand. So sciatica is a condition that's basically describing pain radiating in the back of the thigh, back of the leg.
Right.
It can go all the way to the foot. It can stop at the knee. It can go only to the buttock area. But it's
it
a term.
It starts at the buttock, right? It
well,
starts at the buttock?
It can, but sciatica is actually a name of a nerve.
Right.
So a sciatic nerve, right. Sciatic nerve is a nerve that's made out of 3 different nerves come together, or 4 different nerves. They all branch in together,
okay.
starting from the lumbar spine area. So you know we have L1, L2, mm-hmm. L3, L4. I didn't know that we're going to be live on Facebook, because I'll bring a model next time if you'd like me to,
yeah.
so I can actually educate, because a lot of it is just education. People just don't know what they have.
Right.
They just think they have sciatica, but sciatica can be caused by many different reasons, many different things. So sciatic nerve is made out of 3 or 4 different nerves that come together. They okay. branch, and they make a thick band, and it goes through the low back, through the buttock, all the way to the back of the thigh, and behind the knee, it branches out, and it goes into the foot and the and
so that's where the radiating
the leg and the
pain
foot.
That people have in
correct.
Their legs and their
so they
knees.
Describe the pain, and they say, oh, I have sciatica because it's a radiating pain. But sciatica can be caused by a herniated disc that's pressing on the nerve.
Okay.
And then the nerve, it's like a toothache, but it's in the back. And then you'll feel the pain in the leg. And
then you have to treat the herniated disc.
Correct.
Right, in order to take care of the sciatica.
That's right. So one of them is herniated disc. One of them can be, or bulging disc. One of them can be just a pinched nerve by a subluxation, or just a bone that's sitting not in its normal proper position. Or it can be from muscle spasm. So there is a really big, thick, well, it's actually not big. It's a thin muscle in the buttock area called the piriformis muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a band. And when that muscle goes into spasm, it presses on the sciatic nerve, and you will have sciatica symptoms.
Right.
So then, like, where is the sciatica coming from? There's also scenarios reveals that a patient may have a tumor, and that sits on the sciatic nerve as well. So when you're saying sciatica, it's extremely important in a clinical setting. It's very important to do a thorough history and to do the right diagnostics test to see exactly where the symptom is coming from, because you really don't know where they're coming from, so you don't really know how to treat it. So
is an x-ray good enough, or does a person need an MRI or MRI?
Correct. So an x-ray... CT? So I will explain to you. So x-ray is basically a imaging study that will show a bone, and you can see bony structures, and you can see a little soft tissue, but it's primarily only for bone. And you can see if there's anything. Normally when we look at x-rays, when any doctor looks at x-ray, looks at the alignment, at the structure, it looks to see if anything is broken, obviously, looks to see if there's any kind of changes in the bone. Maybe, again, there is a tumor. You always want to rule out the worst.
Right.
That's the key in medicine, to me at least. You always want to rule out the worst things, and then you can always kind of go from there backwards.
Right.
MRI is the best test to do for that, because the MRI will show you
everything.
If you have, correct, it'll show you a disc, it's going to show you a nerve, it's going to show you if it's herniated, it's going to show if it's bulging, how many millimeters, where exactly it is.
Right.
So you can really have a clear picture of what the patient presents with.
Right.
And then you make, CT scan is like a very, it's a much deeper x-ray. So it's a very, it's better than x-ray, but it's not as good as an MRI. Normally for contrast, from what I know, they do it primarily for internal organs when they want to see if there's any obstruction.
Got it.
Because a CT is still an x-ray, but it's a very, it's very high radiation as well. So honestly, for particularly for sciatica, since we're talking about that, or any kind of back condition, the test of choice would be an MRI.
Right.
You do a CT if a patient cannot have an MRI.
Right.
So patients that would have a metal implant or some kind of metal in their body for whatever, pacemakers or some kind of like a knee replacement or whatever it is. You know, you can see many different things. Then the test of choice would be the CT versus the MRI, because
you can't
do that.
An MRI.
It's contraindicated. But once you have the MRI or once you have a CT, once you see exactly where it's coming from, then you can really know how to treat the sciatica versus just give you, here's a pain medication, it's going to go away.
No, it's never going to go away. It just hides the symptoms. And that's the problem with giving pain medication, because it just masks everything and it never treats anything.
That's right. And that's where the problem is.
So we're back to where we started.
That's
where you don't want to give, you want to treat the problem itself.
Right.
It's like somebody with going to the doctor, having their checkup, seeing that their blood pressure is high. And there, here's blood pressure med. No, is there anything you can do in order to treat that blood pressure so you're not taking those medications?
That is correct.
That's exactly the same.
So there is a lot. There are a lot of conditions out there, such as high blood pressure and diabetes. And that's not my scope, so I'm not going to discuss them. But I can tell you from the medical world that in today's world, if you can prevent some of those conditions with proper diet and exercise and proper lifestyle changes.
Right.
Because, yes, there is a genetic factor, and patients will have that.
Right.
If it's in their genes, they'll get diabetes, they'll get high blood pressure, whatever it is. That, you know, if it's there, it's there.
Right.
But you can. There's always a level that you can prevent some of it, or even if you have the tendency or the predisposition for a genetic predisposition, you can somehow prevent it.
Right.
Or you can at least, if it does come on, it doesn't come on as bad.
Right.
And you can control it. So you can somehow control these kind of things. Back pain is also can be genetic, by the way.
Back pain can be genetic.
Yeah.
Yes. I've seen it with friends who have families that have, because I think it's the structure of your
spine.
The alignment, if you're born in a certain genetic predisposition to something, I can see it. I see a lot of times, I love working out, and when I go to the gym, I see a lot of times people working out in just the worst, horrible ways. And I'm thinking, this is just a back injury waiting to happen.
Right. Very, very true.
A lot of people that come in from gyms at your office?
Yes, I do. So working out as much as it's very necessary and needed, and you must do that and incorporate it into your life, especially me. I have to incorporate it into my life too. That's my newest resolution. It's been one for a while, but that's off the record. But the thing with working out, when people go to the gym and they lift weights, it's very important to lift them properly.
Right.
It's very important to know how much they can and cannot do. And it's very important to be guided when you do that.
Right.
And when you go to the gym and you start using all these machines that are there, which are very heavy duty, and it's not regulated, you don't know what you're doing, you can really hurt yourself. Unfortunately, sometimes you can hurt yourself even with a trainer. I mean, I had a patient
Absolutely.
That was doing some kind of a weird exercise, I think with those big balls, you know, the mm-hmm. I don't remember, mm-hmm. I don't know exactly the name. But he injured himself so badly, he ended up having a 9mm disc herniation. And
oh
he's
my
been
goodness.
battling not doing back surgery because he's a young guy and he's in his late 30s.
Right.
And this is all from exercise, from training wrong.
Yeah.
So even when you go to the gym, which is very important, you have to know what you're doing. But the key to me and the tip is really important to listen to your body. If there are certain things you do that you feel that you cannot do that, and you don't really 100% trust that trainer you're with, or if you're without a trainer, you have to really stop for a moment. Because if you say, oh, let me just do it just a little bit, I'll be fine, that's really that threshold where you can really injure yourself. So you really want to be careful and listen to your body of what you can and cannot do.
Absolutely. And going back to that, I used to have a trainer, not at a gym. I was doing some other types of exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have known, and I knew that what I was doing wasn't good, but the trainer kept pushing me. It wasn't at a gym. Kept pushing me and pushing me and pushing me, and every fiber of my being was screaming, don't do it, don't do it, but I did it anyways. Anyways, ended up tearing
ligament?
A muscle, and that caused some instability to my ribs. And then I foam rolled on the rib, and one day I just heard it crack, and
I fractured a rib
and tore a muscle in my back muscles.
Oh,
and
that was not fun.
Yeah. So absolutely listen to your body, and if every fiber of your body says and screams to you,
don't do it. Then
don't do it.
That's
no
true.
Matter what somebody else says for you to do.
Right.
And I should have known better. I used to be a personal trainer. I should have known better not to listen, but I really wanted to do it. And
we all want to push ourselves sometimes.
Yes.
Which is good.
Yeah.
But,
it's good to a certain extent, but you definitely have to listen to your body, and you have to listen to that little voice inside you that says, do it or don't do it. And if you said don't do it, really, don't do it. Not if you're lazy. If you're lazy, then just don't listen to that voice.
That's true.
So you said you have new modalities now to treat a lot of back issues. What kind of modalities? What is a modality?
So modality is just a therapeutic term for, like, it can be a machine or it can be equipment.
Okay.
Or a machine or a table or a treatment protocol.
Okay.
Or some kind of a treatment that you're doing on a patient. And so what I have, I have two, and again, back to what I was telling you, the FDA has been approving a lot of different new technologies that were available before, but now they're new and improved to control pain. Because again, they are in the main, basically in the main road of trying to fight all this opioid epidemic.
Right.
So one of the equipment or the medical technology that I have in my office is called the NeuroMed, which is an electrical.
Can you say that again?
It's called the NeuroMed. Next time I'm going to bring
you
a picture again because I didn't know that we're going to be live here on the video. A NeuroMed is a big electrical stimulation machine that has, it's called electroanalgesia, that particular model.
Okay.
And what it does, it has different cycles within it, and it's all based on electricity, but it's not electrocuting the patient because it's very, very soothing. It feels like almost like a massage.
Okay.
And it has suction cups, so it's like, you know, the cupping that you get when you do acupuncture. So it has different kind of functionalities, but what it does, it works on the superficial nervous, on the peripheral nervous system, where it actually blocks the pain pattern. So when you use it, it actually blocks the signals that causes pain. Because if you know, so when
you
touch
it on the area that's painful.
Correct.
Okay.
You put
it
in the area that's painful, and it actually sends signals to the brain to block the pain. Because what happens, so let's assume you touch something hot and then your hand kind of like instinctively goes away from the fire because of the heat, and you know you're going to burn yourself. So it sends signals to the brain, oh my God, it's hot, let me move my hand, otherwise I'll burn myself.
Right.
And it's going to be not only you know, a burn, but it's going to be extremely painful. Right. So what the machine, the Neuromed machine does, it's like a regular, it almost acts like an irregular muscle stimulation,
okay,
where you put different electrodes and pads on the patient where the pain is at.
Is that like the stim machine? That you
Correct. Okay. But it's a much, it's like a high definition electrical stimulation, just like you have a high definition TV or a smartphone versus a flip phone.
Right.
Technology is evolving and it's changing tremendously. And so what it does, it actually blocks the pattern of the pain. So when you take a pain medication, even if you take Tylenol or Motrin, whatever it is you take,
it blocks the
it
pain.
Blocks the pain by it goes through the brain
right
to the periphery, which right means to the part of the body where the pain is at.
Right.
And so that's how the signal is being cut, but it affects the brain. That's why all the opioids are so addictive, because right they work on the brain versus directly on the back.
Right.
For that matter. What the Neuromed does, and it has many different functionalities, but the electroanalgesia functionality, it actually blocks the signal of the pain that comes from the area where the problem is located.
Wow.
So if you have back pain and that area is sore, you put it on and it blocks the pattern, so it doesn't send the signal to the brain. And it works kind of like the other way. And
interesting.
Patients leave. So how do you measure that, right? You have to know. I mean, how does it work? So when they come in, we always ask them, what's your level of pain, 1 to 10? And let's say they say it's 8, which is pretty severe.
Yeah.
And 10 is the worst. And so after the treatment, normally after the first treatment, they always, it goes down by 2 to 3 points.
Oh,
so
wow.
I had patients that it started at 10 and after the treatment went in down to, no, started at, sorry, at 8. And after the treatment, it went down to 5 or 6.
That's
now it's really
very
it's very
dramatic.
Very very dramatic. It doesn't go down to 2, it goes down to 5 or 6, but you know how when you take medication you need to take it for a little bit of
right
time until it works, even
right
as a regular anti-inflammatory.
Right.
Well, this is the kind of treatment that you need to
so
do.
How long would you sit with the machine?
The machine, the treatment is about 30 to 40 minutes. So there's two different programs.
Okay.
If it's a muscle spasm and inflammation, we do one program and then we always end with the electroanalgesia, which is basically analgesia is a medical term describing painkiller, pain
okay
relieving. If they have shoulder problem, it goes into a different program. So we start with one program treating the problem that the patient presents with and always ending with the painkiller treatment kind
okay
of thing. So it's a natural
That's
pain
cool
management that you can do. And obviously, just like anything else, you got to do it for a period of time. It's not one quick fix. And it depends on the situation, the patient. So that's one modality that we have. And then the main thing that I'm going to talk about, since you kind of talked about sciatica and disc, is a treatment called non-surgical spinal decompression, which I'm nationally certified in and I'm very proud to be part of. Again, it's not a brand new technology, but it's definitely much more evolved and developed now. And this is basically a non-surgical treatment to treat patients with acute and chronic disc conditions, where patient will come in, we will evaluate their MRI, and based on the MRI, we will design a treatment. This is a table that they would lay down on. The table takes almost half of the size of a room, and it's a computer-generated treatment, so we input the information into the computer, and it depends on patient's weight and size of the disc and the location of the disc, and based on that, we will design the treatment. And there will be, so essentially it will be similar, but it's definitely not, to a traction table. But it's definitely not a traction table because of
what
the way that it works. Correct. So it will stretch you,
okay,
but the non-surgical spinal decompression is going to stretch you exactly at the level and at the direction that it needs to go based on what your findings are.
So it's super scientific.
Yes, very scientific.
Exact.
There is a lot of research to back it up from Mayo Clinic, from Johns Hopkins University, from the doctors that created this treatment. It was created by medical doctors. It's not a chiropractic treatment, but we as chiropractors can do that. And it is very specific to each patient. So it's not one size fits all. It's very customizable based on each individual, you know,
yeah,
finding. And
this
and
is
need.
Only for back? Disc problems?
It's for back and for neck.
And
so
for
you
neck
have
problems.
Two parts for this table, the low back and the neck. And technically speaking, you cannot really, when you have a herniated disc and it's pressing on the nerve, depending on how many millimeters it's herniated, it's a body mechanics kind of a problem. It's a mechanical right. problem because our body is very mechanical. Sit, we stand, we move, we lift. And you actually need to mechanically take the pressure off and allow the disc to go back in. So the disc is like a jello material, mm-hmm. and it's located between the two bones and the right. between the vertebrae, and it helps for shock absorption. And when you have a herniation, it's actually being pushed out like a balloon.
And then the bones.
And so then the bones start pressing against each other closely. So as time progresses, the disc is hydrated. So it's a jello, but it's like a sponge full of water. So as the disc is bulging, then it starts losing its hydration and it's becoming very, very thin. Mm. But it doesn't happen overnight. It's over time.
It's a process.
So what happens when it's completely dry and dehydrated, it can actually break and it's very brittle. So the only treatment protocol today in conventional medicine is to either do a surgery where they do a discectomy and they actually cut it out.
They don't push it back
in? They can't. So there's really no way except the decompression to push it back in.
They can't push it back in?
No, they cannot. They can, unless they can, but I don't know anything about that. And I know a lot about these procedures. So they cut out the piece. There's many different surgical procedures. Right. To stabilize the patient's back,
right.
to make sure, because, right. you know, the back, the spine is very, it's a very important structure because it encompasses the spinal cord. So you have to be extremely careful of how you operate that area.
Of course.
So, you know, there's many different surgical procedures. If it's not stable, then they will do a fusion.
Right.
Which where they're going to put metal plates and they'll fuse the bones together.
And who hasn't heard of somebody who's had a fusion done on their
right,
back?
Right, right. And, you know, anybody that... And listen, I will never say that there's no room for surgeries. It saves lives and you need it when you need it. But there's all this in between that patients that may not need surgery can get some relief and try something else before right. they go. Surgery should always... Right. It's very necessary and it saves lives, right. but it should be a last
Absolutely.
Resort.
I agree totally.
And so all these surgical procedures, the success rate, and there are a lot of them are successful,
yes.
you know, it's about 20 to 30% success rate. And people that have back surgeries will always, most likely, will need another back surgery. That's just the statistics. It's not me. So the non-surgical spinal decompression, it helps about 80 to 90%. So there's about 80 to 90% success rate, and it's scientifically proven.
Is that
proven.
A one-time treatment, or is that an ongoing thing as well?
It's an ongoing treatment. You cannot do it one time because, you know, we have what we call muscle memory.
Right.
So you have to basically, you know, introduce it to the body and allow the body to do its own healing because the power that created the body can heal the body. And when you do the decompression, you actually stretch the body out exactly in the area where it is herniated or bulges or whatever it is, and you allow the body to rehydrate the disc back to normal. Because just like a broken bone, it will heal on its own, but you just have to put it in a cast
right.
so it heals properly. Same thing you can do with the disc. That saves, that really cures a lot of patients with a lot of problems.
Do you have these technologies in both offices? Or
I do.
In both of them?
Yes.
Wow.
I have the technology in both offices. I have two non-surgical spinal decompression tables made by AcuSpina, and which is FDA regulated and approved. And I have the Neuromed machine, which is the electroanalgesia, also in both locations. So I'm very much geared into the natural pain management approach. Whatever I can do, which is within, again, there's room for everything, and there's those patients that will benefit from injections. Injection is another form of treatment.
And the thing with injections, I know, is that people have high sugar levels. It really raises. So if you have diabetes, that is not a good way for you to go.
That's correct. So the injections that they're normally doing for that kind of treatment is called the epidural injection.
Yes.
And the epidural injection, just a little education on that. And I'm not a pain management. It's normally done by pain management physicians. And I have many friends that are. And it's very effective and it's very helpful. And patients really like it, those that it really works on. But epidural injection is a cocktail of steroids that is being injected into what we call the epidural space. And the epidural space is a space where you get a lot of... So it's a space in the spine, which is exactly the same space that they inject epidural when a woman is giving birth.
Right, right.
It's just a different kind, different cocktail of medication.
Right.
And so that is a very strong anti-inflammatory. And for those patients that have the disc herniation and irritated nerve and pinched nerve and severe pain, the epidural really helps reduce the pain because it goes directly to the
pain. Does it reduce the inflammation? Well, if it has steroids, I guess it does reduce some
Yes, it does reduce the inflammation. And so a lot of those patients, if the inflammation is causing the bulge to be greater than what, you know, needs to be, then definitely it's going to be reduced. But there are patients, so what I've seen in my practice, I've seen patients that had, there's three characteristics with epidural. They either feel 100% better and the pain completely goes away and they have no problem, which is amazing and great. And we're
absolutely
very happy, because the main thing here is the outcome of the patient.
Right.
Or we have patients that feel better and it goes away for like a month or two and then it comes back,
right?
Or it doesn't go away at all. So you have those three characteristics of what happened with epidural. Normally, and that's something that the pain management will tell you, they need at least three injections in order for the inflammation to go down.
Go away.
But still, even if you reduce the inflammation, if the bulge is there, it's still
come
there.
Back, yeah.
So with a wrong move, it can come back.
Right.
And it's become, so the decompression is actually treating the herniated disc and the bulging disc, not just helping the inflammation.
So what are things that people can do maybe at home to reduce pain or to reduce the need to have back issues? Is there other things that people can do at home?
So, you know, we're not sedentary, you know.
Well, most people are sedentary.
But I'm saying
in front of the computer.
Correct.
Come home,
that's true.
Watch
that's
TV.
Actually, I take it back. I take it back. But what I'm saying is that we are always moving.
Yes,
we may not be
body,
moving
yes.
in the right direction,
yes.
and so we just may sit slouch on the couch.
Right.
That's not a good position to be in.
Right.
But
I mean, we're in front of the computers. A lot of us are in front of the computers for hours on end.
Correct.
Neck pain, back pain, upper body. I mean, what can we do to reduce those things?
So it's very important to stretch, because you really, so one of the,
but also stretching, you have to do it correctly.
That's true.
If you do it when your body is completely cold, you're going to cause more harm than good.
Right. So you have to really, like I said, listen to your body. You have to exercise, but stretching is better than not stretching.
Right.
Now, one of the biggest problems that we have now, since you mentioned the computer and the phones, we have a syndrome called the tech neck, because you always look down. And so people have a lot of, especially the younger population, has a lot of neck issues because they constantly flex forward. And it's just constantly causing this back muscles to be weak and stretched. But what people can do at home primarily is obviously stretching, exercising, healthy lifestyle as much as possible. But if anybody does have any back pain or neck pain or any kind of pain from any kind of injury, and obviously we're talking about minor to major, if it's really, really major, they need to go to the hospital, have it checked. The best thing to do when there is inflammation is to put ice on it. Just
ice,
like what?
Not
ice.
Heat.
No. Ice will take down the inflammation. The first 24 to 48 hours, you want to use ice on any kind of.
So how would you put it? Like 10 minutes on? What's the modality?
Right. So, right. See, Karen, you got it. So ice pack, you know, everybody needs to have an ice pack at home.
Well, I have like five in my freezer.
Good. Some people use frozen peas. But no, ice pack. You can have an ice pack. An ice pack is made out of Jell-O. Then when you actually put it on a shoulder, on a knee, on a back, you can mold it. So it's not like a frozen piece of, like a rock, like an ice cube. And you never want to put ice directly on a skin, because you can burn. And you want to do that either. So you have to basically put it over a thin cloth, like a t-shirt or a pillowcase. I mean, I tell my patients to put it inside a pillowcase.
That's a good idea, a pillowcase.
Yes.
Because I always take paper towels. And
right,
like,
but a pillowcase is much better.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And you basically apply it on the area where the pain is at. And when you do this, when you just have an injury in the first 24 to 48 hours, you're most likely going to have a lot less pain after. Now, it's very soothing and it stimulates blood flow. But when you have inflammation and
you're
you stimulate
more
blood flow, you
area.
Cause more inflammation. So it's very soothing and it's extremely comforting. But when you're taking the heat off, you can't move because there's so much inflammation, causes a lot more pain.
Have you
always
heard
want
of
to use ice?
I've done this before, and it's really difficult when you go in the shower and you do like 2 minutes really cold, 2 minutes really hot, 2 minutes really cold, 2 minutes really hot. I've done that before, although I've done like 3 minutes really hot and like 30 seconds really cold because they're really cold.
Very
it's
good.
Really difficult.
It's very good. What the ice does is actually it's called a vasoconstrictor. So it actually flushes out the inflammation. It flushes out the blood flow. By doing that, it decreases the inflammation, which decreases the pain.
Right.
But now what they have, and I do not have that modality in my office, but maybe I should, they have something called cryotherapy.
Oh, I've heard some
which is really awesome.
About it.
Yes.
I've not tried it yet. I need to.
So they have cryo chambers, which right. is a chamber you get into, which is like, it looks like a little like a tent almost,
right.
but your head is out and you get a lot of cold. I'm not sure if it's air or what it is exactly.
Yeah, but you can only stay in there for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, but it takes all the aches and pains away. But it's not for everyone because, again,
if you have heart issues, I can imagine.
Right. And if you have severe arthritis, cold is not going to be good for you.
Oh, yeah, that's
going to
be bad.
So we're just talking about injuries. We're not talking about it's not everything is for everyone.
Right.
You have to find what works for everyone.
I've heard also cryotherapy, unrelated, is good for facials. So I'm all into like.
Next time we're going to talk about cryotherapy. Maybe I'll have it in my office then.
Oh,
I don't
know. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's good stuff.
That'd be
I know
awesome.
It's good.
So I want to talk about this. Because
yes.
I have used this cream.
Mineralgia. Yes.
It's
an all-natural pain-relieving cream.
And I have used it in this. Stuff is magic.
It is. It's really awesome.
So tell us about, first of all, before you tell us about this, how can people reach you so they know how to reach you? And I'll also put it on our Facebook page.
Okay.
How can people reach you?
Well, they can reach me through my office. My general website is www.BrigitteRosenbergDC.com. It's very long because it's an old website.
We will put it on our Facebook
page.
Yeah,
put it on your Facebook because of the way I spell my name. And there's also regarding the decompression that I was talking about. It's the www.LosAngelesDiscCenter. And let me make sure that, yes, Los Angeles Disc Center, not plural, .com. And it will talk about the treatment for the non-surgical spinal decompression. So I'm also part of a national organization called Disc Centers of America. And we are nationally certified in all the disc and nerve condition. So there is a lot of research that goes behind it. There's a lot of educational stuff. It's very regulated, and there are about 150 of us all over the United States, 130 maybe, all over. And all we do is we treat patients with those new technologies and help them get
That's
rid
amazing.
Of their...
Only 150
yeah.
across
well,
the U.S.?
Well, that we are part of that Disc Centers of America. There's a lot of independent doctors that have decompression in their offices, but Disc Centers of America is basically, you know, focusing on education and research right. on and certifying doctors specifically on all these FDA cleared modalities and machines for treating disc acute and chronic disc conditions.
What is your office number so people can know?
My Culver City office number is 310-482-3252.
That's a Culver City.
That's a Culver City, and we are very close to Marina Del Rey, Mar Vista, Venice Beach, West LA, near the airport, close to the airport as well. And the Van Nuys location is 818-901-1505, and we are in Van Nuys, so it's close off the freeway, very close to Reseda, Tarzana, Panorama City.
Okay, fantastic.
That area.
So you're all over LA. So anybody in LA can basically reach you.
Yeah,
so
we have very
amazing.
Long hours. We're open until 8 p.m.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and we're open on the weekends as well.
Do you work with people who have had car accidents or slip and falls and things like that?
Yes, I do. Actually, most of my career I worked with, I specialize in whiplash and concussion.
Whiplash? That's, I know. People say whiplash. It's just whiplash.
But it's not. It causes a lot of pain.
It's
very painful.
When I was 21, I was in a car accident and somebody rear-ended me and I got whiplash. And you don't see anything on anywhere on the CTs. You just don't see anything.
But it's very clinically. People really suffer from whiplash
injuries. 2 or 3 years, I had some major pain, and they were telling me, no, it's just whiplash. It's nothing, but it's really not nothing.
That's right. It's very painful. Whiplash and mild, we call it, in our world, we call it mild traumatic brain injury. It's mild, but it still causes a lot of symptoms. And the patient...
The whiplash, you call it?
The whiplash plus the mild, plus the concussion. Because when you have a whiplash...
Yeah, your head
and
just
your
goes,
head goes
boom,
backwards, forwards, and you hit the headrest. That's already a mild concussion.
That's
you will
true.
Have headaches, memory loss. You'll feel foggy,
the headaches, are
ringing in
insane.
The ears.
Yeah.
It's all these symptoms that are not. You can't see them directly on an X-ray or an MRI unless it's a major concussion. But they're very disabling to the patient. It's very affects their activity of daily living, as we call it.
Yeah, I was 21. It was the day I was released from the military, and I was driving to a lesson, and somebody rear-ended me the same exact day.
Oh my God!
It was really debilitating.
It
for
a while,
the first few months, and then the headaches, like you said, and the pain for 2 or 3 years afterwards was just insane. And sometimes they're, oh, it's just whiplash, but it's not really. It could be something really mild, but it's really painful.
It is. It is very painful. And, you know, again, that's what I've been doing for the majority of my career. I treated patients, and I still do. I still do that a lot.
So you work with attorneys as well? So attorneys can refer to you?
That's right. Attorneys can refer to me, or patients that don't have an attorney because it's their fault if they have the coverage for it. But, yes, anybody that has been, that's what I did. I kind of specialize in whiplash injuries, and so naturally I fell into the personal injury world, and I work with a lot of attorneys and insurance companies, and if anybody has been injured, and you have to know how to handle these cases, how to treat those patients. It's not a quick fix. It's ongoing. We see a lot of treatment, a lot of patients that are very injured, a lot of them, and it really affects their lives. It messes them up because, you know, and in today's world, I mean, thank God most of the cars have airbags, which is amazing. But when the airbag will open up on you, you can get a major injury, but it will save your life.
Right.
So we can deal with the injury
as
long as we can save people's lives.
Right. That's so let's go back to this. May I open
back.
It?
Yes, please do.
So I'm having some neck pain from, looking at my phone constantly.
Everybody does love
this cream. I need to open it.
Yeah, open up the little seal.
Open up the little seal. It smells good too. It smells so good.
It's amazing. Yep, it's really
nice.
And
so how much would you like
This is good.
So I'm putting
a little drop you can use. Yep.
And I'm putting it on my neck.
I know, it's awesome.
Oh, it's fantastic.
So Mineralgia is a natural pain-relieving cream.
And you created this product.
I created that, yes. Actually, it's me and my husband. We both created it. My husband is a dentist, and we're both in the medical world.
It smells so good.
And so he always said that all the creams that I'm using are stinking, and they do, right?
They stink.
So we came up with something that's cleaner, and... it's a very, very clean formula. I like creams that are more quality. And unfortunately, everything that's out there, because, you know, people will spend a lot of money on anti-aging creams and anti-wrinkle creams, but they're not going to spend a lot of money on pain-relieving creams. That's just the nature of how we are.
It smells really good. I mean, there's a little menthol scent to it and something else that I can't place.
I'll tell you what it is. It's lemongrass.
Oh,
yes.
That's what it is.
And I'll tell you why I have lemongrass in it. So we came up with this formula.
Sanitize my hands so if I touch Mateo, he doesn't get it in his eyes.
I know. Yes, no, we don't want that. It's not for animals yet. But what it is, it's a clean product. It's all natural. It is good for, it's effective, and it's good for back pain, neck pain, sprains, arthritis, headaches, and anybody that has pain anywhere.
Back pain, neck pain,
arthritis, sprains and strains, you know, when you like you twist your ankle or things like that. Any sore muscles, any minor injuries,
sore
any
muscles
joint
like pain. After working out?
After working out. You can put it before and after working out.
You should create something for like a bath salt.
I know.
This.
I'm working on it.
Are you?
I'm working on it. We'll see. The next time. I mean, it's in the future.
Yes.
But this is a the main ingredients here. So it has camphor and menthol, obviously, as a active. And it has Dead Sea salt.
We have one more minute. So.
Oh, my God.
I
really?
Know. It's just like all the
time went by so fast.
Yes.
That's awesome. It has Dead Sea salts. It has magnesium. And it has a combination of essential oils that I put together because of their effectiveness for pain, inflammation, and arthritis. So it smells like lemongrass because lemongrass is good for muscle spasm. Mandarin oil is a natural analgesic. So everything in here is specifically designed for pain. So it's extremely effective. It's very safe for kids to use. It's safe for anybody else to use. Any like pregnant women can use it, adults, children, old people, young people,
athletes.
And they
can get it at your practice?
They can get it online. It's www.mineralgia.com. Mineralgia is a term describing algae is pain and mineral is minerals. So we're treating pain with minerals from
Fantastic.
The Dead Sea. And they
Dr.
can also
Rosenberg,
buy it in my office.
Thank you so much. I mean, the hour flew by.
I know.
Thank you so much for
I'm
being
I'm
going
to have
here.
To come here again.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa. Right here on LA Talk Radio.